live from Financial Peace Plaza, it's the Dave Ramsey Show, where debt is dumb, cash is king, and the paid-off home mortgage has taken the place of the BMW as the status symbol of choice. I am Dave Ramsey, your host, and this is the best in talk radio, service-oriented talk radio that matters, talk radio that's about you and for you. It's your show, America. If you're doing well with money, we're here to help. If you're not doing so well, we're here to help. And the phone number is 888-825-5225. That's 888-825-5225. Or you can go online at DaveRamsey.com and click on Dave's email. Keep those brief and to the point. We'll do our best to answer them as a part of the show today. Starting this segment off is Seattle. Ed is calling. Hey, Ed, welcome to the Dave Ramsey Show.
Dave, you got a great show and great program.
Well, thank you, sir. How can I help today?
I got a puzzle for you. Challenge, rather.
Okay. All right.
Back in 2003, I was pulling down about $6,000 a week.
Whoa.
Plus my wife, or a month rather, plus my wife was working about $30,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
And we just bought a new house, first house, $300,000.
Mm-hmm.
And we owed about $270 on it.
Mm-hmm.
And 15th of October, I was diagnosed with stage 3B colon cancer.
Ooh.
And the doctor basically told me if I don't start treatment right away, I won't be around to see Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
So we went through a heavy-duty chemo session and radiation, and they told me April of 2004, everything was gone. Cancer was gone.
Mm.
So about a month later, it came back, and it started the first of 29 surgeries.
Wow.
I went for a major surgery, and I caught that flesh-eating bacteria in the operating room.
Mm.
And make a long story short, I ended up from May through September 15th in the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And my wife was very limited as to what she could do for work. Luckily, we had about $20,000 sitting in the bank,
mm-hmm.
just in case something ever happened.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you figure that's enough money.
Mm-hmm.
And I had disability insurance through work.
Mm-hmm.
But as it ended up, I've been off work still.
Mm-hmm.
And I applied for Social Security. So I knew my disability was going to be running out from work.
So you only had short-term disability at work?
Yeah, unfortunately. It was only 18 months worth.
Mm.
So Social Security came up with this idea that I should have been able to work at least light duty during all my treatment and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So they're telling me, I appealed it, and they're telling me that they can't find 12 months worth of reason that I should have been off work. And I'm just at the end of my rope.
What about your doc? Have you gotten any help from them on the appeals process?
Yeah, I talked to them after the last rejection here 2 weeks ago. And he said he's going to call them and set them straight as to what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is their doc is the one that makes the decision.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he could be a pediatrician or he could be anything with an MD behind him.
Veterinarian.
Yeah,
no, he probably would have been smart.
You know, I don't think he'd make a good funeral director. You know?
Oh, my gosh.
I think,
as far as if you're wanting help with that, the only thing I've ever seen that works with dealing with the bureaucrats is just persistence wins. And I would go to another appeal, and I think I also would be on the phone and have some discussions with my local congressman and senator.
Yeah, trying to get him to call back, though.
Yeah,
that's
but
the problem.
Yeah, but their offices at least should have some constituency services people.
Yeah,
that'll help you. You know, with this appeals process, because that's what a lot of congressional and senator offices do is work with things in the district or people that need help.
Yeah,
and so I guess I would refer you to that. I don't know what else to do, Ed. I've never been in a situation like that or even worked through. It sounds like it's 5 years you've been fighting this animal now.
Oh, yeah. Well, thank God I'm cancer-free.
Wow, good.
Is the damage from the flesh-eating bacteria, they had to remove all the muscle from my right side and my left side from about my kidney area
mm-hmm.
and all from underneath my ribs right down to the pubis bone.
Ew.
And all that holds my stomach in is just the skin off of my legs.
Nasty.
Oh, yeah. You try and get a job or something. Like I finally told my wife, I said, I'm going back to work somehow.
Yeah. What you probably could do would be to try to develop something from home at that stage of the game, something that you can do from the Internet, too, because you're probably weak still. My goodness. I mean, what a thing to go through. Bless your heart. So I would just say, you know, you've got things that you already knew. I don't have any real insight. Is continue to fight with Social Security and then develop a career track from home. Gosh, you're probably like an expert on cancer now. I mean, you could probably work on a lot of stuff on the internet and different things like that. And, you know, what I'll do, let me send you a copy of Dan Miller's book, 48 Days to the Work You Love. He is really good in that book and on his website and things about helping people come up with ideas to run the small business of their dreams. And many times these situations like you're in, it forces our hand on that kind of thing. So hang on the line. Laura will pick up and we'll get you a copy of that book. And all I can just tell you is I'm impressed. I mean, you are someone who perseveres and you will persevere. Laura is in Portland, Oregon. Hey, Laura, how are you?
I'm better than I deserve, Dave. How are you?
Better than I deserve. How can I help?
Well, I have a very tricky situation here. I have my ex-in-laws suing me over a promissory note that I didn't know existed. They gifted my ex-husband and I money to purchase a home.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know anything about it, and then turned it into a promissory note.
Did you sign it?
What's that?
The promissory note.
Did I what?
Did you sign it?
I apparently did. I have not seen the original.
Okay. So you were just blindly signing things?
Yeah, that will never happen again. But my ex-husband, you know, here, sign here, sign here, you know, sign my life away without realizing, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
And during the divorce, my ex-husband is a bankruptcy attorney, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
He lied on financial declarations to the court, did not list this alleged debt. He had been paying this back. His mother sent him the payment. As a gift, $1,025 mm-hmm. a month to keep it under the IRS, you know, $12,000 a year or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then he would send a check back to mommy and daddy. I was married to a mama's boy, I found out later. And so they have decided to sue only me for the entire amount of the promissory note. And I am at my wit's end. I have paid probably $20,000 in attorney fees.
And what does your attorney tell you?
The attorney said that I have a case, basically, that there is a gift letter that they denied existed and that it was a gift. However, we've got this promissory note and payments and all that, so there's a possibility they could win.
Mm-hmm.
If they win, then they would only be awarded what it has not been paid, which is
so
not the...
What's the balance?
You know, the promissory note was for $92,000. They are coming after me for $150,000 for their attorney fees and everything.
How can I help you?
And what's that?
How can I help you?
Well, I am wondering if I should just go file bankruptcy at this point and make it go away and make them go away or fight them.
No, I would fight them. I don't let them force me into bankruptcy.
Okay.
But I'm going to hire an attorney that's more competent than this. For $20,000, I want more results than you've gotten. Listen, when you hire an attorney in a situation like this, what you're dealing with here is crazy, mean people.
Exactly.
Okay? And what you need is an attorney that's just a little bit crazier and meaner than they are. Your attorney needs to be somebody
that
you...
That would be difficult.
you really don't... You want an attorney that you really don't want in your home for dinner. You want to hire a mean jerk that's going to take great pleasure in attacking them.
Okay.
This is not a systematic process. This is an emotional process. And he needs to file so many motions on them that they can't breathe and they want to file bankruptcy. He needs to totally turn their life upside down. And for 20 grand, I would have expected that, honestly.
Yeah.
This little patty cake deposition and we're going to have discussions about this crap is over. If we're going to fight, I'm going to drop an atom bomb on your head.
Right. Well, and the thing where we're at right now is give us your income tax record
at right now is I want your income tax records, and I'm going to countersue you for my $20,000 that I've already lost for you messing around with something that was supposed to be a gift in the first place, and I'm going to see if I can't take your house away from you. Let's try a little offense here, and you need an attorney that's offensive in the offense mode, and that's you're going to have to you got to get legal counsel. I can't help you. But no, I wouldn't file bankruptcy. I would attack them with everything that was within me. This is the Dave Ramsey Show. This hour, I am Dave Ramsey, your host. Let's talk about your life. Kansas City's with us. Jeff is on the line. Hey, Jeff, welcome to the Dave Ramsey Show.
Thanks, Dave. Thanks for taking my call, and I love your show.
Well, thanks.
My situation is my wife got into a co-signer situation before I met her, and the creditors are coming after her now for the debt.
That's the problem with co-signing, isn't it?
Definitely. And I just wanted to know, what advice would you give her? I spoke to an attorney, and they told me Chapter 7, but it has to be 8 years or longer. And I don't know if she's filed bankruptcy before, but I just need some input on this, on what...
How much is the debt?
Excuse me?
How much is the debt?
$5,000.
Well, I'm not filing Chapter 7 over $5,000. That's stupid.
Yes, you're right. I guess
I'm gonna lose my whole life over that.
No
way. Just, what's the $5,000 for?
It's I guess it was for a Pontiac car. You know, it's actually $10,000, and they're gonna. What they told me was they're gonna split the debt. You know,
yeah.
I had them send me the correspondence that I just needed letters from them, which I got today.
Yeah.
Just to get set up so I know who I'm dealing with. But
now, who did she co-sign for?
It was an ex-boyfriend.
At the time, it was a boyfriend, though.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Now, obviously, ex, because you're there. Okay.
Yes, definitely.
All right. I'll offer him $3,000 cash as settlement in full.
Okay.
And be done with it. Can you come up with $3,000?
Possibly.
Yeah, offer him $2,000, $3,000, somewhere in there, and get it in writing before you send them any money, and they'll take it. Is it Pontiac that you're dealing with, General Motors?
No, it's a collection agency.
Okay. Was the original loan made with GMAC?
Oh, I don't know. It looks like AmeriCredit Financial Services.
Ooh, nasty boys. Okay. All right.
Well, I dealt with them, too. They listened. I actually dealt with them and told them how to find an individual, because I guess he came during the night, took the car from her, and never made payments to basically cause what's going on now.
How long ago was all this?
This was probably, I want to say, 5 years ago.
Oh, yeah. So they're just now getting this. This is a very, very old loan that they really have a low expectation of collecting anything on. A lot of people do go for Chapter 7 when they finally call them after 5 years and surprise them in the afternoon, you know, with this ridiculous thing. So, yeah, she's going to pay some stupid tax for having done this, and it's going to be to the tune of $2,000 to $3,000, and you can settle this. And that's what I would do.
Okay.
And just don't give them any money. Just fight with them until they come down to what you can dig up with. And 50 cents on the dollar would not be unusual at all, or less. I've settled them for less. But you can pretty easily count on $2,500 somewhere in there. $3,000 you'll settle it for sure. And but get it in writing. Don't give them any access to your checking account. Don't let them bluff you and say they're going to sue you. Just say, well, come on, we'll go down and I'll meet with the attorney when you sue me. You know, just when you sue her. Just, you know, does she have a job?
Oh, yes. Yes.
Okay.
She's got a good job.
So they could garnish your wages eventually then. Eventually they'll get around to it. I would keep talking to them, but just keep the negotiation lines open until they accept your offer. And it may take you a month of messing with them, but it's what else you got to do to save $3,000 or $4,000?
Yeah, you're right.
So you got them down to $5,000 already, just getting them to split it and go after him, and now you can get them on down from that for her part. And they can chase him all they want to chase him, and you'll help them, as you've proven, you'll help them find him.
Yes.
And so continue to do that, but just go, look, this thing came in out of the left field, and we're just not in a position to give you $5,000, and our financial counselor said for us to settle it with you or to file 7. And although I'm not telling you to file 7, but... You know, just tell them your financial counselor said to settle it, because that's what I'm saying, and I'm your financial counselor.
Thank you, Dave.
Easy enough?
Easy enough.
Yeah, we'll see how easy. Call me back or email me. Let me know how it goes, okay?
I will do that. Thank you very much.
All right, up next is Jennifer in San Antonio. Hey, Jennifer, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm better than I deserve. How can I help?
Well, first of all, I just want to let you know I went through Financial Peace University, and I'm debt-free.
Yay!
I think I'm debt-free. This is the problem. My ex owes over $40,000 in child support.
Mm-hmm.
Has paid once, and whenever he found out he got garnished, he quit his job.
Mm-hmm.
I guess he'd rather make nothing than pay child support.
Mm-hmm.
And our son got stung by about 40-something yellow jackets up the coast and got lifelighted to the hospital.
You don't have health insurance?
His father told me that we had health insurance. His father was in
the guy who never pays child support?
I know. I'm stupid for believing it. But he said if I needed the card or whatever, he'd fax it to me.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, needless to say, when the hospital called him, he didn't have any health insurance. So it's over $10,000.
Mm.
On our paperwork from the Attorney General, it says that he is responsible for all of the... If he doesn't have health insurance, then he's responsible for what costs, you know,
yeah.
And get.
Did you sign anything at the hospital taking financial responsibility?
I put his name.
Mm-hmm.
I put his dad's name because mm-hmm. that's what the paperwork says.
Mm-hmm.
And however, they keep on calling me and they're
sure.
saying they're going to put it on my credit. And
sure. Well, I would send them to him. But I also, you know, for $10,000, you probably ought to ask an attorney about Texas law because it is your child, it's a minor child, are you responsible for the bills along with your ex? And ask an attorney that, because I don't know. I'm not an attorney. And
okay.
if you are technically responsible, and there's that possibility, then you need to probably start working something out for some or part of this money.
Even though on the paperwork from the...
It doesn't matter. The state law will supersede the paperwork. And state law says... If state law said something like, you know, the parents are responsible for the kids' medical bills, parents, then divorce court doesn't change that.
Okay.
It doesn't change the statute with state law. Again, I'm not an attorney. You need to ask one if you're liable for this bill. And the answer is, if you are... Fine, then
yeah.
start working on it. If you're not, then, you know, get a case law number or some kind of statute number that you can quote to the credit to the collector and send them after the deadbeat. I mean, the ex. Okay?
All right. Thank
Easy
you
enough.
Very much.
And yes, an ex who's supposed to furnish health insurance and pay child support that doesn't would qualify under the Deadbeat Act, according to Dave Ramsey Law. This is the Dave Ramsey Show. Same financial advice your grandmother would, only we keep our teeth in. It's the Dave Ramsey Show. Open phones at 888-825-5225. Lindsay in Indiana, while on a short trip over the weekend, we stayed at a casino hotel. I do not gamble, but I was watching a friend play a slot machine when a familiar song came over the speakers. It was the theme song from your show. That would be Baker Street. I smiled and gladly kept the cash in my pocket as I looked around the room full of people pumping the machines full of money. Thanks for following me on my trip, Dave. That's right. These department stores who play the easy listening stuff from the 70s or something, sometimes they'll put on Baker Street and don't even realize they just caused all shopping to cease. Once somebody hears that song that listens to this show, that's hilarious. That's great. I can't buy. Dave's looking. That's why they played the song. It's great. Lisa in Mississippi, what's a good gift to give younger children that would be a blessing to them for years to come? Wow. Well, I guess there's a lot of things that you could do that would fall in that category. The first thing that came to my mind when I read that question was knowledge, wisdom. And, you know, just begin spending time with them, and they understand money and not obsessed by it, not obsessing about it, but that they enjoy the process of giving, of saving, and of spending. So knowledge, wisdom. That's what popped into my head. Sounds kind of corny, but it's what popped into my head, so that's what I do. It's a stream of consciousness stuff here. And, you know, the second thing that comes to mind is just, a college fund. Knowledge is always the gift that keeps on giving, so if you wanted to do something for them that would be a blessing for years to come, funding their educational savings account, their ESA, would fall in that category. Other than that, I guess you are into the realm of gifts that would be keepsake-type things that grandmothers or mothers might gather for kiddos. And we certainly have done our share of that around the Ramsey house, too. But a blessing to them, that would be a blessing to them for years to come. Items aren't blessings to you for years to come. They tend to wear out. All right, up next is Chris in Cincinnati. Hey, Chris, how are you?
Better than I deserve, Dave. How are you?
Just the same, darling. How can I help?
Well, my husband and I, thanks to you, we're on your budget, and we're debt-free except the house.
Yay!
The problem is we make really good money, I'm embarrassed to say, and we seem to be living paycheck to paycheck.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is my husband works for a subcontractor. It's his friend and great guy. But because subcontractors get so slowly paid sometimes by contractors, you know, so forth, he probably owes us 10 to 15 grand because my husband pays so much out of pocket every month, and the money's just not getting paid to them as fast. And so we just can't seem to get ahead, and it's just frustrating me.
Well, this is not a business. You are now financing this other guy's business because he hasn't controlled cash flow.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, great guy or not, that's what's going on. He's obligated himself to pay out more at a different schedule than he has coming in. His receivables and payables passed in the hallway in the middle of the night.
Right.
And you be on the payable side of this arrangement. So, I don't think this is a good arrangement. I think that something has to change here, and you guys need a bigger piece of the action if you're going to finance the deal.
Well, my husband keeps saying, you know, he'll get a huge bonus at the end of the year come winter when everything gets paid up. It's just, you know, we're about to have another baby, and I'm looking at, you know, finances like, how come we never have any money left over and we make so much money?
I'll bet the guy's secretary got paid.
Well, I know he hasn't had a paycheck for the past few weeks.
Well, welcome to being a business owner, though. You know, that sometimes you don't pay yourself a check because you pay your team a check.
Right,
but
right.
Listen, if I don't pay the lights, they cut them off.
Right.
And if I don't pay people here, pretty quickly they start leaving.
Okay.
And so, I mean, this was not a trip you signed up for, right?
No, no.
This is just something that this friendship is being a little bit pushing the edge here.
Right.
Maybe a little over the edge. So yeah. I think we need to have a discussion with said contractor and get the money flowing a little bit. I don't think that's unreasonable. And,
no, I don't
you know, And no, I'm not going to wait 4 or 5 months. What do I look like? Do you see bank and trust across my shirt? I mean, why am I banking you?
Right, right.
That's my question. You'd be more diplomatic and because the guy's a nice guy and all that kind of thing, but bottom line question is, why are you his bank? Because he doesn't have one.
Okay.
And doesn't have a plan. And right. He's kind of taking advantage of this friendship. He may not know what else to do. Maybe you can help him find some other alternatives or a different business model or a different way of collecting from the people that are supposed to be paying him. Around here, when we have a collections problem, I tell our team all the time, we don't have a collections problem, we have a sales problem. How we sold that advertiser on being on the Dave Ramsey Show, if they're not paying us on time, we must have sold them incorrectly, because part of making the sale properly is them understanding they got to pay. Right?
You're right, yeah.
And so I think this guy's probably got a business model that needs a little bit of a kick in the pants.
Right.
And his collection, you know, he's not collecting well because he's got some, he needs to go work on that relationship instead of riding on you guys. Does that help at all?
It does, definitely.
And so, hey, I'm going to be in Cincy this week, and I want you two to come as my guest. I'm going to give you a couple free tickets to the Thursday night event. Hold on, Laura, we'll pick up and take great care of you. Mark is in Houston. How's Houston, Mark?
It's hot, Dave.
I'll bet. Every time I'm there, it is. What's up?
Not a lot. I guess I'm in a mess of zeros behind it, Dave, and just don't see a way out. I do fairly well. You know, I'm self-employed.
What's fairly well? What's fairly well? How much do you make?
About $76,000.
Okay. That's pretty good. Doing a good job. Yeah. So what's the mess? Tell me about it.
Got a baby on the way, and just, you know, that added a lot of stress. And
it just made you start paying attention. All right, so now you're paying attention because Mama's got a baby coming.
That's right.
First one?
Yes,
congratulations.
Sir. Thank you.
How old are you?
I'm 28.
All right, very cool. So how much debt have we got?
About $212,000, Dave, including the house.
Woo! How much of that's house?
$155,000. I did a really dumb loan, 100% finance. You know, I had to destate it and all that stuff they told me.
Mm-hmm.
And after listening to you, you know, for months, I should have saved up 20% and I didn't. So mm-hmm. now I'm...
So what's the other $57,000?
About $37,000 is unsecured debt.
On what?
Credit cards.
Okay.
Credit cards, a water softener for the house.
Oh, goody.
Yeah, lots of good things. And the other is my work truck, you know, that I bought new. And
$20,000 on that.
I drive for a living.
$20,000 on that.
About, yeah.
Okay. All right. You drive all day long?
Drive all day long, yes, sir.
All right. Wow. Well, you've been buying everything in sight with no money.
Exactly.
And so we have big debt. And so you've realized you reached the end of that rope, obviously. When's mom due?
February 26th.
Man. So what's the possibility of getting your income up?
I'm pretty good at Domino's or Papa John's.
More driving you know, the truck, huh?
Yeah, or more driving the truck, exactly.
What are you doing with the truck?
Hauling electrical and datacom supplies. I do a dedicated route here in Houston.
So is this like it's not a pickup truck?
No, it's a 20-foot flatbed.
Yeah. Okay, I see. Wow. Okay.
Yeah, and, you know, we're looking to sell. There's 17 new homes in our subdivision. Kind of a long story, Dave, but the builder has left, and I've got the option to lease it.
I don't think that solves your problem. I think you need to sell it because you got in a bad loan when you did the stated. You got in a subprime, didn't you?
Right, absolutely, yeah. And it's on an arm, you know, fixing to adjust here in another year.
Yeah. I sure I'd hate to have you sell your house with a baby on the way, but I think that's probably the answer.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's a house you shouldn't have bought, not to mention the water softener and the other bunch of crap you bought on the credit card. So, yeah, I guess Domino's is in your future and a for sale sign in the yard, and you're going to struggle to get rid of this house because you've got a glut in the market there.
Exactly. Yeah, it's really a tough market. So anyway, you know, I was just curious. She was willing. She said, "Well, we can rent a place, you know, and try to lease it or something."
No, I don't think leasing it solves the problem. I think you need to be out of it.
Okay.
So let's put it on the market. Work extra, and I don't think you can sell that truck. You're out of business.
Exactly. Yeah, and I can't lose it either. You know.
So yeah. So we've got to keep that thing rolling because that's the golden goose right there that's laying the eggs, man. So. But I want that thing paid off as soon as I can, first and foremost, as soon as I get out of this house deal. But the house deal is what's killing you because you're sitting there, what are you paying, 9%?
I got a really good loan through the credit union, but the longest they'll finance a commercial vehicle is 3 years. Dave.
Oh, no, I'm talking about the house. I'm sorry.
The house, yeah. It's about 8 on the first loan and 10.75 on the second, you know, and it's a balloon that's going to pop. And
balloon and adjustments and everything else, yeah. I think I put the house up for sale, go to work at Domino's, and go to praying about this.
Absolutely.
And that's, you know, you are a walking, talking case study for this subprime mortgage crap that's all in the news.
Right.
You're a guy that should not have been given a loan.
Exactly.
And if you hadn't been given a bad loan, you wouldn't be in a mess right now. You'd be a renter.
Exactly.
And you only to buy another day. But this home ownership has not been a blessing for you. It's been a nightmare.
It has, David.
And,
sure.
And you got ripped off every way but loose on the rates, and you signed up for it too. So you got your part to play in the responsibility part of it. But in the meantime, as promised, we're not going to just beat you up. But I just, from a national, economic, national news perspective, people, you know, we're sitting here talking to Mark. He's the face on these news stories you're hearing. And so there we are. And, you know, hardworking guy, got a baby on the way, 28 years old, just like you and me, just people out here get caught up in this stuff. So, by the way, Mark, if this is the dumbest thing you ever do, you're pretty smart.
Oh, well, thank you. I'm glad I got to talk to you, you know, I really am.
Well, I hope you can get that house turned. And hang on the line. We're going to have you and the missus come to the live event at the end of September. We're going to be there in Houston, and we want you to come as our guest. Hey, we appreciate you being a listener in Houston. 46 minutes after the hour. Oh, man. There's going to be so many Marks all across America. They got into these loans, and it's just it's sad. It really is, but the market will correct itself. From an economic perspective, Darwin is alive and well. This is the Dave Ramsey Show. After the hour, open phones this hour. I am Dave Ramsey, your host. You jump in. We're going to talk about your life and your money. It's a free call. 888-825-5225. This is interesting. Trying to see what this is from. What's this commentary from, Laura? It's not marked. Anyway, commentary. A feature story in Business Week provides a sad commentary on the immorality of the credit card industry. Citibank was offering college students $5 to $10 for every one of their peers they can talk into filling out a credit card application. The former student credit card pusher featured in the story knew nothing about consumer credit when he was signing up his friends and currently has $13,000 worth of credit card debt of his own. What's wrong with this picture? Citibank was relying on an untrained sales force being paid completely on commission. Student marketers were reportedly told by a Citibank representative that they could assuage student concerns by telling them it is easy to pay off your balance once you graduate and get a great job. The marketers had no real training in the products they were pushing, and it's not hard to imagine that in their eagerness to sign up other students, they engaged in deceptive marketing practices and did a poor job of explaining what their prospects were getting into. They didn't do any explaining of what their prospects were getting into. Of course, Citibank had to have known that this would happen, but that's the beauty of it. By recruiting students to do it, they had no knowledge of, or in theory, responsibility for the deceptive marketing. A Chinese wall had been constructed. This is an absolute travesty, and state attorney generals need to investigate credit card marketing tactics on and around college campuses. Students are being exploited by, and someone should end up in jail. Well, I don't know that that a criminal law was broken, like his passion, for sure. And I do agree the immorality of the credit card industry. I do agree with that. Kids selling kids. For a free pizza, for a free shirt, for a free hat. Just sign up. It's all you got to do. Credit Shark is alive and well on college campuses and out of control, completely out of control. And, you know, I've made fun of these people signing up people on campus for years. And I honestly, this guy brings up an interesting point, Zach Bissonnette or Bissonnette. Or Bissonnet, could be, I guess. I have no idea what this is posted in. Probably some blog or something Laura found it from. Consumer Advocate blog. Blake found it. Okay. And, but, you know, the thing he brings up that's very interesting is students preying on students all for $5. I mean, hey, yeah. I mean, because it's less intimidating. Oh, everybody's doing it! Come on! You know, it's like young people, because if some old codger sitting there, they're not going to be, it's not as hip, it's not as cool, there's no peer pressure involved. Unless, of course, he was an authority figure and an expert saying that you needed to have a credit card. You need to take out a credit card to build your credit, Junior. And these idiots on television are doing that all the time. So you run into that fairly often. But this idea that students preying on students, that part of the college campus credit card formula, I had not thought through. And it's a little bit, yeah, I think immoral does fall there. And I don't think anybody's going to jail because I don't think there's anything criminal there, although it'd be fun to investigate and figure it out. But I still think that, you know, what brought the tobacco companies down, the big straw that broke the camel's back was Joe Camel. Joe Camel, he's the one that, the camel that got crushed, and that was where they were marketing the cigarettes, cancer sticks, to kids. And their marketing program was to people who technically weren't supposedly able to buy cigarettes. And just the public backlash, the congressional backlash against that kind of mentality was eventually what basically put the, you know, created the lawsuit, the class action suits, and the billions and billions of dollars out of these tobacco companies. Now, I am not advocating that a class action lawsuit go in against the banks, because I don't think the tobacco one was right. I think when you decide to put something to your lips, when there's a big old hairy sign across the side of the thing that says you're going to die if you do it, then you take your life in your hands. It's all personal responsibility. And the same thing's true with an 18-year-old with a credit card. I think it's wrong, but there's enough blame to go around here between the stupid individual signing up for the card and the immoral individuals signing them up for the card. Personal responsibility and corporate responsibility both run completely amok, and that's how you get this mess. So whose fault is it if you're fat? Is it McDonald's fault? No, it's your fault. You put too much food in your mouth. When I was fat, that's why I was fat, because I put too much food in my mouth. When I was broke, you know, I was broke because I did stupid things. That's why, with money, and it'll make you broke when you do stupid things with money. So, I mean, when you're going to reap what you sow. And so if you signed up for a credit card while you were in college, I think it was wrong of those college administrators to not only allow these bozos on campus, but yay, even encourage them by putting the college motto, emblem, whatever else, on the card. Just a disaster. And so, yes, the credit card companies are responsible. Yes, the 18-year-olds are responsible because they're adults, quote unquote. That's what the law says, anyway. It says they can sign as an adult. So we parents have to teach our children about this stuff. But eventually there's going to be a Joe Camel-type backlash against the Citibanks, the Chases, the First Cards, the MBNAs that have been hounding these college students into oblivion. Eventually there's going to be, and I hope it's not lawsuit form. I hope it's just marketplace form. I hope that finally people wake up and go, that's enough. I'm not doing business with you anymore if you keep acting like that. On any front, with any product. This is the Dave Ramsey Show.
This program is designed to provide accurate and authoritative information with regard to the subject matter covered. This information is given with the understanding that neither the host nor the station is engaged in rendering legal, accounting, or other professional advice. Since the details of your situation are fact-dependent, you should additionally seek the services of a competent professional.